we talked on a subject matter before Easter, and I want to bring it back into the forefront as we start a new series today. And we, if you were with us a few weeks before the Easter moment or Easter time frame, we had begun to talk a little bit from a passage that many people are very familiar with, and that's the Lord's Prayer. Have you ever heard it before? It's amazing how people know the Lord's Prayer better than they know the Lord. But anyway, I mean, people who don't go to church, crisis situation, on the plane. I mean, even in movies, what do they all start doing? They all start reciting the Lord's Prayer. Yeah, and I feel like that's not really the right tool. You don't understand the tool you need for that. It's like me in construction. I only have one tool, and that's a hammer. And that's why they don't let me do anything in this renovation. Because I don't do it well. I just try to take one tool and use it for everything. We need to clean the windows. Got it. Well, you can't use a hammer for that. Sometimes you get yourself in worse situation. Well, you know, prayer is that same way. We need to understand the different tools of prayer. But also in this is more than a prayer that you need to recite, but a pattern in there that brings truth to your prayers. Because sometimes you don't have time to recite the Lord's Prayer. You might only get out Jesus. Come on, somebody. When that car goes through that red light, you don't got time to say, what was that prayer again? You don't have time. You just, Jesus, that's all you got is Jesus. Sometimes you don't even get that out. You get the, and it's, he's. But there's so much truth in that prayer. And we know it starts off about worship. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Holy be your name. And we talked before, a few weeks ago before, how in our prayers, before you start asking God anything, you need to start with worship. You need to start worshiping him. It'll change your heart. It'll change your perspective. It'll change the reality that you're not coming to God to barter with him, to beg him, but all of a sudden you begin to realize that he's the all-sufficient one.
Amen.
Amen. He's the El Shaddai. The El Shaddai, the all-sufficient. Say all-sufficient. You know what that tells you and I? He's not stingy.
That's right.
Can you imagine God saying, you know what? I have answered so many prayers today. I'm going to have to put you on the wait list. Do you mind calling me tomorrow? You know, tomorrow's weekend. Why don't you call me on Sunday morning? Well, that's when our week starts. And you be the first, and we'll make sure your request gets a priority. Because you know what? I got all the angels out. I got all the answers are done. I'm empty today. We're short. Budget's tight. No, he's the all-sufficient one. And in fact, one of the things when you begin to worship him, you're drawing near to him. And James tells us when we draw near to him, he draws near to us. See, some people want God to be far away, but I want you to fix my stuff. I don't want you near me. I don't want to know you, but I want you. And that's what Israel, really, if you go back to the Old Testament, when God told Moses, now bring the people to worship me. And he said, all right, folks, now it's time. You get to experience what I have been experiencing. You get to see God the way I've been seeing God. You would think that they would get excited. But you know what they did? They said, Moses, you go up there. And then come back and tell us what he said. We don't want the relationship. We just want all the results. And when you begin to approach him for relationships first, you'll begin to see that everything that he has belongs to you.
Amen.
There's a lot of good results that you can have. Everything that he has belongs to you. You begin to worship him. You know, interesting thing, years ago on a personal note, when my wife had Logan, our daughter, she came a little bit early, 10 weeks actually. And so she spent a few weeks in the NICU. And I'll tell you what, if there's any people in the medical field that need to be applauded, it's those who work with these preemies. That's just amazing. Just amazing. But one thing that I found was so amazing, and that was when she would, they had her hold Logan against her skin, skin to skin, and they called it kangarooing. Some of you maybe are familiar with this. And according to the medical field, don't you? I love when the doctors tell you stuff it's like, how can anybody question that we're created by heaven and created by God? And she would hold that little baby against her breast, skin against skin. And they said, when the mama skin touches the baby skin, the mama's body is able to detect. Are you ready for this? I thought this was amazing. Is able to identify or detect without Kim realizing it, without her trying to do this, without her knowing how to make this work. Just every mother without realizing it, when they go to and they hold that baby close, skin against skin, which is a natural instinct for any mom. You ever see a mom saying, "I got a new baby"? They don't do that. Why? The instinct is to bring that baby close. And when that mom, her skin, and they touch, her body is able to detect every vitamin or mineral that Logan's body is low in. Yeah. And her body produces the right formula in her breast milk specifically for that baby in that moment.
Yeah.
Think about that. So when that baby's nursing, that baby's getting a detailed, tailor-made meal for the moment. Now you say, why are you telling that story? Because, you know, El Shaddai actually means the full or breasted one, which means that there's no lack. But when you get close to your Heavenly Father and get to know Him and worship, guess what happens? There's coming to you today a detailed, tailor-made nutritional meal that you need. That you need in the moment right now. I'm telling you, that's why we worship. It's not to do music because music's supposed to happen. It's to get you in the presence of God. And when you're in the presence of God, it's amazing how God can speak to your heart even in this moment. Stuff that I wasn't even planning on saying. I'm not that smart. I'm not that good. But you'll say, man, pastor said exactly what I need. That wasn't me. That was the Holy Ghost. And He's giving you a detailed, tailor-made meal just for you. Say, thank you, Father. Say, thank you, Father. So I worship you in spirit and in truth. So many times people start quoting that verse, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And no more worshiping God, no more approaching God, no more realizing that when you worship Him, you get to know Him, and the name of the Lord is a strong tower, David said, and the righteous run into it and are safe. I'd spend a few minutes worshiping God. God, I got this problem, I got that problem. Wait, before, He knows it, but before you get there, let's do it His way. Seek first the kingdom of God, let's do it His way.
Yeah.
You begin to worship Him that He's the healer before you ask Him to heal you.
Yeah.
I've seen people get healed without asking because they get in the worship of worshiping the healer. Father, I just want to thank you that you're the healer and that you're the all-sufficient, you're the supplier, you meet the need, and you knew I'd be here before I got there, and by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed, 1 Peter. And Father, I just want to worship you. Thank you, Father, for healing. Thank you that you're the healer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for being my provider. Thank you, Father, for being my peace. I thank you that you are, Jesus, you are the Prince of Peace. Father, I thank you. I worship the God of peace today. And you begin to do that, and all of a sudden, you're going to find yourself get calm and rested and clarity. But Jesus didn't stop there. What's the next part? We'll throw this verse up on the screen. Out of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. Father, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We're getting closer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I want to talk a few minutes today about the kingdom of God, because I think this is something that's misunderstood a lot, because most people think the kingdom of God is heaven. Most people perceive the kingdom of God to be heaven. It's getting quiet. Maybe you're in there. That's okay. We're all growing. Say, I'm growing. I'll make you a deal. If you don't get quiet, I won't stay here that long. But when you get quiet, you get in there. So you shout amen, and we'll keep this boat going. Hallelujah. Most people think the kingdom of God is heaven. And Jesus said in this prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom and the will of God are connected here. The kingdom of God, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. One of the challenges I want to draw real quickly on a side note, that we've said this before, but we need to keep repeating this so we don't forget it, because some of us have been indoctrinated by ideas that are not scripturally sound, and so our knee-jerk reaction is to always go back the way we've always been taught. But if it's not lined up with the word of God, you don't need to hang on to it. You got to learn to let that weight go, because it's not what Pastor Greg says, challenge everything I say with the Bible. It's what the Bible says. And have you ever heard somebody say, well, you know what? Everything that happens is because of God's will. I'm a Christian, so if anything that comes to me is from the hand of God. It almost sounds spiritual. Well, I guess God just gave me this problem today so I could deal with it to give him glory, because, you know, anything that happens comes from God. Well, let me ask you this. If everything that happens is because of God, why do we have jails? How do you criminalize, how do you lock somebody up if they did the will of God? Well, something bad happened to my family. I guess God did it. And there's more people in the world today that don't go to church, don't serve God, or are angry at God because someone told them what happened to them was because God allowed it. I began to share a story a few weeks ago, I didn't get a chance to finish, about a dear lady, a grandma, that was in our church. And as I actually had, she was a waitress at a restaurant. I had eaten there several times. I got to know her, invited her to church. But she had told me, you know, when people start opening up, it's amazing what they'll share. And she began to open up and she said, I grew up hating God. Not just not believing, hating. Yeah. She goes, I raised my children to be atheists. And the reason was when she was a child, she was it was her and her mom, single parent. And they couldn't afford to live on their own, and so they went and lived with her mom's parents. But her grandfather was not a good grandfather. And for years, her grandfather would, we'll try to keep this G-rated, her grandfather would do not so nice things. And she would pray, God, if you're out there, don't let this happen. And she grew up thinking that God allowed that to happen. Of course, God's all powerful. Anything that happens, it's because he allowed it. No, you misunderstand. You misunderstand. And she grew up hating God. But I remember the day in the back of the church one day when she came to church, heard the gospel, got saved, tears running down her cheek. Say, Pastor, I just accepted Jesus. And she said, for the first time in 40 years, I don't feel dirty. See, Jesus is the answer. Yeah. He's not the problem. It's the system, the plan of the devil to do things to people and point at Jesus or God and say, he did it, to make them mad at God, because he's the only cure for the broken heart. He is the solution to humanity. If everything that happened in your world came from the will of God and the plan of God, then why would Jesus encourage the disciples to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? If the will of God was always done, then you'd have no reason logically to pray that, because it would be an automatic understanding. So it shows us that the will of God is not always done. Will it be done in the final end? The end result, God wins. We know that from Scripture. But in the journey of it, the devil's trying to steal, kill, and destroy, John 10:10, as many as he can, to keep them out of the kingdom of God, to keep them out of heaven, to keep them out of God's best. And so what we have to learn is that when we deal with challenges, God's not the source. Say, God's not the source of confusion, pain, or problems. Say, he's the answer. If you in the back of your mind don't believe that, it'll be hard to approach him in worship. It'll be hard to believe him. It'll be hard to trust him. But the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct you. You don't follow people that you don't trust. You don't follow people you don't trust, and you don't trust people that you think are going to hurt you.
Right?
Exactly. Right? Can you see how the devil breaks the system down, and people are, they're missing out what's available to them, And it's a reason because the devil's told them God did it. Well, if God did that, I don't want any part of that. You find me someone who hates God, who's angry and bitter toward the church and the gospel and the Bible, and I'll show you somebody somewhere in the past of their history had an extreme, horrific situation had it happen to them, and they didn't know where to turn, and somebody told them God did it to them. And so their logic was, if God did that, I don't want anything to do with them. I'm out of here. See you, God. You leave me alone, I'll leave you alone. And maybe you know somebody that way. See, the gospel is the good news. God doesn't hurt, he helps. John 10:10 again, the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you might have life and life more abundantly. God doesn't hurt, he heals. Acts 10:20, how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, destroying the works of the devil and healing those who were oppressed. He does good. He doesn't do bad. He does good. He doesn't do bad. He heals. He doesn't break down and hurt. He helps. He's so good that even when they approached Jesus one day, he said, good master, how do I get saved? He stopped them in the tracks and said, there is none good but one. And that's your Heavenly Father.
Amen.
Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, there's... For those of you in the room that like sci-fi, Trekkie, you'll appreciate this more. And the challenge we have with a lot of things and truths is in the Word of God. We need them revealed, but we try to understand truth from a perspective of our own understanding. God operates in more. See, we live in this dimensional world, length, width, height, time, right? We got these four dimensions we play with, and everything in our world is defined by the perspective of our past that we define and try to define God out of the context of these four dimensions. But the truth be told, God operates in a lot more dimensions than those four that we understand.
Yes.
It's like if you had a group of people. Have I ever introduced the idea of Mr. and Mrs. Flat? Have you ever heard this? No? Okay, let's work on it. Mr. and Mrs. Flat, imagine that there was a whole world and everybody was only length and width, no height. Two dimensions, no height. Length and width, no height. Smart, intelligent life, no height. Two dimensional. And their whole life, they grow up, they do life, they solve problems, they fix stuff, but everything's defined by the parameters of those two dimensions. And let's say I'm God. We'll make this. We're going to really use our imagination. Let's say I'm God. And there they are. And let's say they're operating. And I decide I want to interact with them. And I am just like 1 millimeter above them. I'm there, but they don't know because they don't have height. I'm just right above them the whole time. I see everything. And I decide one day I want to interact with their world. And I put my finger down into their world. And all of a sudden, they know that something's different. And they begin to understand that God is interacting with them. And they begin to walk around that fingerprint. And they walk around my finger. And they begin to define who I am by the terms of their definitions of what they see in their world.
Right.
Oh, God must be. And they define God by the little touch of my finger. But I'm so much more than just my finger on a flat plate. I have so much more to tell them, so much more to give them, so much more to share with them.
Yeah.
But they can only, if they only look at the perspective of their understanding of being flat, they'll never really get the context. You say, well, how does that work? That kind of sounds weird. Well, let me put it this way. God has the ability to be everywhere at all times simultaneously.
Right.
God has the ability of never having a beginning, never having an end.
Right.
God has the ability to know every thought, the intent of your heart, of every person alive this moment, and never being overwhelmed by the information, and be able to see and look at you clearly as if he's only looking at one person, and have a conversation with you simultaneously to every person without losing or being distracted. Those are things that we cannot understand, that we receive, embrace by faith. God is everywhere. God has always been. God knows everything. God has all power. These are context terms in the Bible describing our God that we cannot, with our mind and rationale and reason, say, I understand that. Oh, yeah, I get it. God never had a beginning. Okay, go back a billion years. Go back 100 billion years. Go back, keep going. And eventually, out of your exhaustion, you're like, you would think there'd be a beginning somewhere.
Right, yeah.
We can try to explain, articulate the context of God But he is so vast, so amazing, so good that I'm telling you, that's why you have to receive an understanding. Just like Peter, when Jesus said to the disciples, who do men say that I am? Oh, some said this, some says the Elijah. Who do you say that I am? And Simon spoke up, who later became Peter, and said, you're the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One. And he said, Simon Bar-Jona, flesh and blood is the King James translation. Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, which means this is not an idea that you got from people. This is something you've received from heaven, a revelation in your heart on who I am. And when you begin to understand who he is, and that's why in the context of the kingdom of God, it's more than just a heaven place. And heaven is in the kingdom of God. But the kingdom of God is also here on earth, because Jesus told them in Matthew's gospel, chapter 12, he said, if I cast out demons and devils by the Spirit of God, then you need to know that the kingdom of God is come unto you. He told the disciples in Matthew's gospel, chapter 10, verse 9, I want you to go heal the sick. Just don't pray for them. Heal the sick. Just don't say, kumbaya, Jesus, do your will. Whatever you want to happen will happen. No, no. He said, heal the sick. And then when you do, let them know. Tell them the kingdom of God is come unto you. He told them all, listen, I want you to know the kingdom of God doesn't come. And that's in Matthew's gospel, I believe, chapter 17, 21. And he said, the kingdom of God doesn't come like you would do by observation, like over there is the kingdom and over here. But he said, I want you to realize that the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is more than a location. The kingdom of God is more than a place. You could say it this way, and it's hard. One answer is never going to fit every situation because of the complexity of it. But the kingdom of God is the rule of God. Yeah. It's the authority of God. Yeah. The kingdom of God is over every demon and every devil that will try to mess with you today. The kingdom of God is over every sickness that will try to come unto your body. The kingdom of God is God's authority in your life. And Jesus said, I want you to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, because God's got a will, but his power backs his word. And he needs his will to manifest in your life. Yeah. We need the kingdom of God. Amen. Some of us have been sitting in our easy chair and just saying, Jesus, you know I love you. And you do. You know I go to church and I'm faithful. And you do. So, Lord, I'm just going to sit here and let you back up that truck with everything I need to make me happy. Beep, beep, beep. I'm waiting for it, Jesus. I know it's going to come. And we wonder why our prayers aren't being answered and we're not moving forward, because it's not waiting. Jesus said that the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. What happens? God wants you to be bold and courageous, for the righteous are bold as a lion. God wants you to bring his authority into your world. The problem we have in a lot of times in the church world is people get a little bit of this revelation and they begin to operate in this revelation and bring the authority of God in their world, and they're so proud of themselves, then they decide, you know what I need to do? I need to bring God's authority into your world too. No, 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 no. You're not supposed to bring God's authority into my world. I have to do that. That's where control comes from. People trying to dominate other people's will. That's not of God. What is of God is when you rise up in your relationship with God, in your maturity with God, and say, wait a minute, I don't have to stay here. I don't have to take this. It's already available for me. And it doesn't mean you're a bad person if you've got struggles or problems. That's called a real person. For Jesus said, in this world, you'll have trials and tribulations. My daughter came across somebody who was teaching the Bible, and they happened to make a comment. Well, God heals some, and God doesn't heal others. She said, Daddy, what about this? I said, do you think God is that confused? Do you think he's that emotionally unstable? Have you ever met somebody that way? They love you one day, they don't love you. They love you, they don't love you. They want to do it, they don't want to. They can't decide. They're always changing their mind. They're always, well, James tells us that that's called an unstable person. A double-minded, King James says. And he says that a double-minded person should not think that they will receive anything of the Lord. If the Bible tells me that being double-minded causes me, keeps me from receiving from God, why do we think that God's double-minded? Yeah, right. We're to be imitators of God as dear children. God's not double-minded. He's not confused and say, well, this one I'm going to heal today, that one. No, no, it's already, are you listening to me today, church?
Come on, you got to get past the newness of the space and get right into what God is doing. And I'm here to tell you that Jesus loves you, and everything that is in the promises of God have already been purchased for you by the blood of Jesus. It already belongs to you. It already belongs to you. It already belongs to you. Well, I'm waiting for God to heal me. No, you're going to be waiting a long time, because that's not how the system, the kingdom of God works. Because in the kingdom of God, the word of God says, by his stripes, 1 Peter. Now, Isaiah says, by his stripes, you are healed. 1 Peter says, by his stripes, you were healed. The were and the are, the difference, you can take it by the Hebrew and Greek and try to break it down. But at the end of the day, here's what's happening. One's before the cross, one's after the cross. They all point to the cross. And at the point of the cross, it was paid for. You're healing. It's like a present. It already belongs to you. Say, it's mine. We get in the mindset of saying, I hope God does that one day. It's already done. He's entered in his place of rest. He's waiting for you. He's giving you the authority, the keys to the kingdom. What you bind will be bound in heaven, and what you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And it doesn't mean you're a bad person if it's not manifested, because it takes the process of time. Hebrews 6:12, that through faith and patience we inherit, but we have to get on the journey to begin to inherit. And to get on the journey, we have to understand and have confidence in this covenant that all that God has purchased already has your name on it. All, say, it's mine. I mean, the Bible's got all kinds of ideas. You're like, really? When I have it, then it will be mine. And you'll never get it from God that way, because Mark 11, 23, 24 says, we have to believe that we have received it before we get it, which means we have to understand the ownership of it before we see the manifestation of it. We have to believe that it already belongs to us, because again, John 10, 10, the thief has come to steal. Let's just stop right there. You don't, when you're trying to steal, you have to make sure they have something before you try to steal it. We allow, in our minds, we think the devil's trying to give us something bad. He's not trying to give anything from me. He's trying to take what belongs to you. That's why people don't rise up and stand up and say, wait a minute. That's why people don't rise up in prayer and are bold as a lion, because they're being passive. Lord, the devil's trying to give me something. Please remove it. No, you have authority. He's not trying to give you anything. He's trying to take healing and health from you. Come on, some of us get so passive in the church world and so weak, we allow the devil to kick our teeth in. But you wouldn't even do that in the natural. You let somebody knock on your door 2 a.m. drunk and you don't know them, and you got a little baby in the back room. All of a sudden, you might be just 95 pounds, but something on the inside says, you walk through that door, you're going to be carried out. Why? Because something inside says, this is not right, I have to stand up. But if we're taught the wrong thing, we'll begin to embrace the problem. I guess it's from God. No, it's his will is his word. The devil's what's trying to attack you. God's not trying to attack you.
Right.
Right. So let me close with one more scripture, because we're not going to get today, obviously, in the details of how to operate in the kingdom with your authority. But I want you to understand a bigger picture. Say a bigger picture. It comes out of Matthew's gospel also, chapter 5. If you have your Bible, or you can look to the screen. Notice Jesus said this. We'll throw it up on the screen. You are the light. Say the light.
Light.
Now stay with me. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be. So does God want you to hide out in the world? Now, folks, God doesn't want you to be weird. God doesn't want you to be something you're not. Now, if you're weird, then we'll pray for you. Some people are like, man, if I serve Jesus, I got to talk and act like that weird person over there that walks around and hands those 1970 tracks around. No. God doesn't want you to be weird. He wants you to be you. But he wants to, notice this, he wants to demonstrate his light, for he's the true light, right? You are the light of the world. City on a hill cannot be hidden. Next part. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all. Notice the last part. It gives light unto all. It gives light unto all that are in the house. Now, in the house are the people you have influence with. One translation says that it benefits those in your house. You're not called to benefit everybody, but you're called to benefit somebody.
Yeah.
Now, let me break it back, and then we'll close with this thought. Here we are. You can, because everything's in the covenant of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. Everything. Healing, blessing, rest, peace, victory. All of it. Say all of it. And that's the covenant. It's the contract cut by the blood of Jesus. New covenant, better promises, right? You can, when you get to heaven, enjoy all of them. Amen. When you get to heaven, there's no sick people. Right. When you get to heaven, there's no poor people. Right. When you get to heaven, there's no... Wouldn't it be weird to get to heaven if someone's depressed? Hear about the story about the man who dies, and this is a joke, so lighten up a little bit. The man who dies, it goes to heaven, and Peter's walking him through, and they come up to a house, and it has a sign that says complaint department. And he says, Peter, I got to ask you, heaven's perfect. Why would anybody find or see anything here to complain about? And he said, you know, some people, they're just not happy unless they complain. No, there's no complaining in heaven, is there? There's no depression in heaven. There's no sickness in heaven. There's no poverty in heaven. Right? 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 Can I get you to agree with me? Yeah? Y'all agree with that? That's not a deep jump. That's not a big jump. So we can wait to when we die and leave this side of eternity and get everything that belongs to us as believers, children of God, in heaven. Right? But God said, and we saw that earlier part of that prayer, that we could begin to access what rightfully belongs to us out of covenant before heaven on this side of eternity. And it's just not for you, and that's a good part. God wants you to be blessed. God wants you to be healed. I mean, that's what Paul told Timothy, right? That God richly gives us all things to enjoy. But notice here's the big picture. Because if I'm able to draw healing from heaven's resources that belongs to me into this side of eternity, if I'm able to access the financial provision of heaven's resources, what belongs to me, into this side of eternity, you know what happens? I not only receive it early, hang on, I can share it with others. Yeah. If I share it with others, I can see and reach other people to get saved. Amen. What do you do when you have a friend who doesn't believe in God, and all of a sudden, the sickness that the doctor said is incurable, you get healed from? What do they say? Because they know you. Right. They're in your room. They're in your box. They're in your influence. And they're like, man, you've been in a wheelchair. Now you're walking. What's up with that? It's going to start a question. It's going to start a conversation. You can become a light. So don't sit, if you're dealing with some major stuff, don't sit there and say, why me? Say, okay, God, you have this already fixed, solved in heaven, and I'm going to begin to walk this out by faith and access it. Why? Because I not only want to have it here, I want to help other people. I not only want to have it here, I want to bless other people. When you begin to operate that, then it's just not about you. It's about other people. And when you begin to do something to benefit other people, that's called love. And the Bible tells us that faith operates by love. See, if my faith is only for my personal gratification and my wants and me, no more, then you'll find that your prayers are not effective. But when you begin to pray that, God, I want you to bless me, not just so I can have nice stuff, and God don't mind you having nice stuff, he just doesn't want stuff to have you, but God, I want you to bless me so that I can propel the kingdom of God and see more people get saved. God, I want to be healed so that I can pray for other people, let them know that you still heal. God, I want you to bring peace into my home or peace in my heart because I want to know, I know other people that are dealing with it. Because find me somebody with a problem and I guarantee you the natural progression is a network of friends with a similar problem. And what the enemy meant for evil, God can turn it for good, because you can be the only light of the God's goodness and gospel that they can see. What we do is just not for us, though we become the receivers of it. We let it flow through us also. Amen. And we become determined to keep receiving what God has for us in every phase so that we can benefit other people. We're operating by love. Yeah. That's why greed doesn't get you anywhere. Right. And that's why people who accuse other people for being blessed really in their heart are greedy. Yep. And it don't work for them, because in the back of their mind they know they wouldn't share a thing. They wouldn't help a person. Because it's all about them. But all of a sudden, God said, I want you to understand, I'm giving you authority. The kingdom of God is the rule of God, the authority of God, that you can bring God's presence and his power into your situation. Yeah. That no demon can say no to, hallelujah. For at that name, every knee must bow. Yeah. That no problem can fight against it. It can try to resist, but it's on a losing side. Yeah. And you can bring what God says is true. Doesn't Isaiah 55:11 says God's word, it goes forth, it will not return void, but it will accomplish that to which it's sent? What's happening? God's will is being manifested in this side of eternity so that he gets glory and more people can get saved, because people are dying every day going to hell. And they will continue to go to hell until someone takes the gospel to them. And it's more than a track. It's the demonstration that he's true, he's real, and that his light is shining not only in you, but through you to benefit others. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Well, Pastor, it still seems impossible to me. Don't be discouraged. Just smile. Because the demons are telling, devil's telling you, it'll never happen for you, it's impossible. Just smile. It makes the devil so nervous when you smile. It just, he don't know what to do when you're smiling. He don't know what you're thinking, but why are they smiling? Because what a great story. You know, I mean, if somebody came up here and said, I got testimony, I had the sniffles yesterday and I prayed and God took the sniffles away after 4 days and 10,000 milligrams of vitamin C 3 times a day. You're like, okay. But if you live in an impossible situation today and the devil tells you it will never change, let me tell you, your situation is only temporary, which means subject to change. Yeah. If you do what you've been doing, nothing changes. But if you do what God tells you to do and walk it out with his authority, it can change. And it might not be overnight. It's a process. But you can walk in saying, devil, you thought you had me. Yeah. Now I see light at the end of the tunnel. What is that called? Hope. What is hope? Faith is the substance of things. Hope for the evidence of things not seen. And Hebrews 6, and we receive it through faith and patience. It's what gives you, 1 John chapter 5 tells us that this is the victory that overcomes your world, even your faith. And you can tell the devil when he says, it won't happen for you. You can say, well, you better get a pen and piece of paper and write it down, because it's going to be a story I share. The harder you try to hit me, the louder I'm going to... The more you push against me, the stronger I stand. Because I refuse to bow my knee into the opposition of the enemy. I refuse to bow my knee to the opposition of the enemy. I refuse. You got to get that in your spirit today. I'm talking to somebody. And if you're on your deathbed and you're saying, the devil says you're going to die, you say, I refuse to give in. I refuse to give in to the opposition of the enemy. For my God is a healer. He's a healer. He's a healer. And if you go to the other side of the eternity, you can say, God, I didn't see it all happen, but I didn't quit fighting. I walked it out. I fought every time. Would not give in. Don't you throw in the towel. Don't you throw in the towel. Don't you throw in the towel. Your God is too good. Rise up. Arise, Isaiah 60. Arise and shine. Arise and shine. Arise and shine. For your light has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Don't you dare throw in the towel. Well, it looks so bad. I guess we'll just give in and quit. Don't you quit. Smack him once, repent later, and tell him you love him. Don't you give in yet. Don't you throw in the towel. Don't you throw in the towel. I know I'm going long, but someone needs to hear this. Don't you throw in the towel. Don't you throw in the towel. I just don't know. It won't work. Don't you throw in. Don't you listen to the devil. He's a liar. Jesus said he's a liar and father of all lies, and there's no truth in him. And when he begins to tell you you're going under, when he tells you it's impossible, then he's a liar. That means the opposite is true. That means you can make it. You are going across. You have Jesus on your boat, and you're learning your authority, that you are in the kingdom of God, and you have rights. I sense in my spirit there's somebody here today that even in right now you're dealing with suicide. I curse and bind that suicide spirit that would even distract you from a sound system or distract you by a neighbor. I come against it. I break its hold off you. Don't you throw in the towel. Don't you throw in the towel.
You're a winner, you're not a loser. And by the authority in the name of Jesus, in the authority in the name of Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, I curse and bind and cancel the assignment against your life right now. Well, that seems a little strong. You have to get strong if you're going to rise up. We got to get past this. Lord Jesus, if you're there, you got to rise up and say, nope. You want to fight, devil? I'm going to give you a fight. At the end of it, I've already won, and I'm going to reach out and tell some people. You better let the devil know he's going to rule the day. He ever messed with you and your family? You're touching my son? Don't you touch my children. You're going to wish you never touched my child. I'm going to make sure every demon in hell that surrounds him will wish they never. Don't you be passive with the devil. You rise up. Don't throw in the towel. The kingdom of God belongs to you. The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is within you. It's the authority of God. In the name of Jesus, I call it so. And everybody shouted, yeah. We're done. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.